A drive through the terraced mountains of Ningxia province, bordering the Gobi Desert, shows what some places on Earth might look like a half century from now. The earth is hard and dusty. The dry grass crackles underfoot. Over the past 50 years, the temperature in this region has risen 2.2 degrees centigrade, nearly 4 degrees Fahrenheit. That's a bigger temperature rise than the 2 degree centigrade or 3.6 degree Fahrenheit increase scientists warn is a tipping point and should be the cap by the end of the century. Facing more frequent droughts and starved for water, the province took a drastic step. It's relocated over a million farmers. More people than live in Austin, Texas. My taxi driver, a former farmer, points to a hilltop and says the landscape is different from when he was a kid.
That used to be a bare mountain with no trees. After reclaiming the fields from farmers, they planted trees.
Until a couple of years ago, there were 30 families living in this steep valley. Now, only a handful are left. 58-year-old farmer Mi Zhangzhong is one of the few who stayed behind. He says the tree planting has made a difference. He says after planting lots of trees, it started to rain more, and that has helped reduce the heat. For China, climate change is no hoax. It's impacting lives today, and the fear is it will become much more socially disruptive in years to come. That's one of the reasons why the Chinese government did an about-face on climate change. Hu Min is the executive director of the Innovative Green Development Program, a non-governmental organization.
When I started, you know, like 14 years ago, it was the time when climate change, the word, is kind of not politically correct. So we're not supposed to talk about that much. It was mainly finger-pointing between developing country and developed country and who is supposed to take more actions.
Then things changed. China became the world's number one emitter of greenhouse gases. The growing middle class started clamoring for a cleanup of the choking air pollution. And the national leadership wanted to shift from dirty, low-paying industrial jobs to cleaner ones. So the government started trying to turn the bad news about pollution into good news for the economy. The new mantra was ecological civilization.
In China, we have seen that the renewable energy sector, for example, the wind power and electric vehicle industries, they have been creating a lot of jobs. And also those jobs are high-value jobs than the coal miners. This is very clear.
Nowhere is this more visible than at the annual photovoltaic exhibition underway in China's business capital, the coastal city of Shanghai. Exhibition doesn't do the event justice. The crowd is humongous. An estimated 220,000 visitors attended. That's as if one out of every three people in Washington, D.C. dropped by. Professor Shen Wenzheng has watched the exhibition grow from a tiny offshoot of an academic conference he organized in 2005. Now, anyone who is anyone in solar is here.
I think this is the biggest exhibition on photovoltaic in the world right now. Most of the PV companies in the world take part in the exhibition in Shanghai.
The exhibition hosts almost as many companies as the Shanghai Auto Show, and it shares some of the glitz. Women in short skirts show off a prototype solar car. Nearby, there's a live jazz band. It's sponsored by the German company Heraeus, one of the major makers of the silver paste that forms the lines on solar cells. Executive Vice President Tore Prang says Heraeus plans to hire 100 more employees, and its youthful vibe is part of the recruiting strategy.
Solar only really lifted up in, you know, 5 years ago. So most of the people here in China in this industry are very young.
Among the 1,800 exhibitors, there are only about two dozen American companies. Mark Ma is global marketing manager for DuPont's photovoltaic business. Not too long ago, solar was seen as pie in the sky because it was too expensive. That, too, has changed.
The price has been dropped from more than 100% over the past several years.
Professor Shen's lab at Shanghai Jiao Tong University works on solar cells that can generate electricity on both surfaces. He says the advances are in part due to strong government support for research.
Past 10 years, the Chinese government put a lot of the fundings on research, much faster, much larger than the U.S. fundings.
That's attracted a lot of Chinese researchers working in the U.S. to come back home. Of course, these jobs aren't helping out those who are being displaced in the coal industry. China's government is in the midst of a three-year program to shutter 4,300 mines. Back in Ningxia province, not too far from where farmers are being relocated, we drove through a small coal town.
Sleepy town. A few cars slowly meandering down the main street. Big coal trucks by the side.
At the local photography studio, Yan Yu Zhen says if the coal mine in town were shut down, she and her family of four would be out of a livelihood.
Of course, everyone wants clean air, but you also have to make a living. Where we can move to?
She asked, where are you from?
America.
America.
Last year, miners took to the streets over unpaid wages, and the government was forced to come up with a special $15 billion assistance fund. In recent years, coal production has plateaued, and China's in the midst of a plan to cut 1.3 million coal mining jobs. But no, the out-of-work miners aren't expected to arrive on U.S. shores. Coal analyst Jenny Huang of Fitch Ratings says the government has various schemes for redeploying redundant workers.
Because industry-wide failure could create some social problem in these areas.
In one area in northern China, 40,000 coal workers are now working in agriculture. Elsewhere, they're moving up the value chain.
Some of the coal miners become more like the Chinese version of Uber driver.
China is transitioning to an economic model that involves more consumerism, more cars, more services, more vacationing. This suggests new sources of greenhouse gases. 3 years ago, China's carbon emissions per person overtook Europe's. Senior advisor for the Worldwide Fund for Nature, Ni Huan, is concerned the Chinese public is too blasé about climate change.
Some of the rising middle class in China, they don't care about the environment, they don't care about climate change.
Disillusioned by adults, Ni Huan started a grassroots organization called Green Light Year to raise awareness among kids about how to live a low-carbon lifestyle. Ni Huan has turned her small apartment into a low-carbon demo home. In her tiny sliver of a garden, she generates electricity with a solar panel and has an aquaponics garden with lettuce, mint, and chives, all floating in a fish tank and nourished by fish poop. Today, 40 children from a nearby school are taking her tour. 9-year-old Gerard Yongqi Chang is impressed with what he sees in Ni's tiny garden.
I think the fish tank and the plant is very interesting. They help each other to grow fast.
The kids are surprised when Ni tells them the state electric company pays her when she generates extra power, and she gets a significant financial incentive for her electric car. China is already the largest manufacturer of electric vehicles, and the government is now proposing requiring auto manufacturers to have 12% of total auto sales be electric or hybrid vehicles within 3 years. Ni Huan says government incentives for officials who want promotions used to be based on economic growth. Now, the environmental record also counts.
So that's why a lot of government officials, they came to visit my home to see what exactly can be done at the grassroots community and how to reduce the carbon footprint.
The jury is still out on how much of a global leadership role China will take on. But regardless of whether China wants to use its diplomatic muscle to encourage other countries to go green, economic policies are already achieving this.
Probably in the long term, the biggest impact of China on the climate change issue has been China's taking leadership on renewable energy.
That's analyst Anders Hove of the Paulson Institute, which promotes low-carbon economic programs in China and the U.S.
When the cost of these energy systems fell, partly due to the scale-up of wind and solar power in China, That has a huge impact on the rest of the world because it has essentially made these technologies cost competitive with fossil fuels, and that essentially has changed the name of the game for the discussion of climate change as a topic.
Hove says soon the so-called energies of the future will be the energies of today. And at that point, instead of bickering over who pays for reducing pollution, everyone will be busy installing clean sources of power because they simply make economic sense. Reporting from China, this is Jocelyn Ford for America Abroad.